I'm going to be preaching, continuing the series, The Big Ten, and today is one that really, this is a message that I think might catch a few of you guys off guard. Probably are going to think there's not a whole lot to this command whenever we look at it. And I'm going to say this is one that as I was reading it, I felt some real serious conviction. And I believe that God is, through this whole series, I believe that God is going to bring some clarity to our walk. I believe that God is going to show us things that, not to condemn us, not to make us feel bad like I'm a worthless Christian, but man, we want to love him more, right? I mean, I hope that's our desire, is to love him more, and we want to see him in a different light, because just for who he is. And I just believe that God's going to do some real heart work in each and every one of us. So I hope that you're open to that today, for God to speak to you. If you are, say amen. That means so be it. That means, like, do it, Lord. Do it. Speak to me. So, we live in the day and age, many of you probably realize this, that things have become less and less formal, right? I mean, look at the way I'm dressed up here. I actually wore black pants, and I should have not. I should have wore jeans when I was going to preach this one. But we see things are less formal than what they used to be. You think about businessmen years ago, right? A guy could go like door to door selling ink pens in July, and he'd be wearing a suit and a tie years ago. I mean, it didn't matter how hot it was. It didn't matter what kind of, he could be in a rural community, didn't care, wearing suit and tie. You watch like Leave It to Beaver or whatever, shows like that. Like, that's how they actually dressed, right? They're straight up business all the time. What would you think now if someone showed up at your door in a suit and tie? Like, what did I do? Why is the FBI here? You know, like, what's going on? What did you do, honey? People, even when they would go out on dates years ago, you know, people went out, they wore their best, right? Like, man, let's get dressed up. I'm going to wear a tie. You're going to wear a dress. We're going to go out looking nice. You're, at very least, a guy would wear a collared shirt. Ladies, they'd put on jewelry, put on some perfume, all this stuff. They made a really big deal. Now it's like, you ready? Yep, I'm ready. You ready? Yep, you're still wearing the same t-shirt and shorts that you wore all day at work or around the house or whatever. Maybe some of you dress up. But by and large, most people are just a lot more casual than the way things used to be. Even in our speech, right? Our speech has become a lot more casual. Maybe you've spent a little bit of time in the South where everybody is sir and ma'am, right? It's awesome. I love it. I love when you go down there. Or if they're not sir or ma'am, it's Miss So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so. That's how it is down in the South. Everybody is on a first-name basis, and they treat each other with respect. But up here, around most of the world, and even in the South a little bit more than it used to be, it's not like that anymore. Everything is more casual. That was more respectful, more, you know, professional, but it's respectful. Now things are more casual. It's like, some kids just call their parents by their first name. Now, I understand when you're a little kid and you're learning or whatever, that's kind of funny, but like, I hear kids that are teenagers calling their mom or dad by their first name, and I'm like, what is wrong with you? That kid would be picking his teeth out of the ground. You call me by my first name. That's not respectful. I'm just kidding. Don't turn me in. I wouldn't really do that. Xander's teeth just fall out on their own, like left and right anyway. But kids are just disrespectful. They don't see that ma'am, that sir. I mean, speech has gotten casual. As a matter of fact, sometimes I will call somebody sir, and what response do I get sometimes? That's my father. Yeah. Yeah, or Mr., you know, Mr. Hinky. Like, nope, that was my father. Don't call me that. Like, sir, no, it's my father, sir. I'm not sir. Like, no, that was just a formal, more respectful way of honoring people and talking to people. But life has gotten more and more and more casual. Now, in some cases, I think that that's okay. It's okay to be more casual. It's kind of like here at church, again, like what I'm wearing. Okay, I dress casual. You guys dress casual. We don't have anybody here. I don't remember the last time I saw a tie here. That's okay. But you know what? It's also okay if someone does come in wearing a tie or a suit and wants to. I think that's awesome. Dress how you want to. We're going to say that. We need to actually believe it. Okay, so when someone comes in at a AC/DC shirt, don't tell me that I got to kick them out because they have the wrong shirt on. Okay, if we're going to say it, we've got to believe it. But I think casual can be fine. But being casual makes you feel a little closer, makes you feel a little more like family sometimes. That's part of why we're with like that with our dress and even with our speech, right? I mean, you know everybody here on a first name basis. So it's not all bad. But here's where it gets a little bit bad. We see this same mindset, this less formal, more casual in people's view of God. This is where it gets a little bit bad. Because we teach, right? God is he's a casual God. He's easily accessible. You don't have to do this and that and the other thing to speak to him. He's always available. You can speak to him wherever you're at. That is true. But I think some of that gives us a little bit too casual of a mindset of God. And so today I want to look at what happens when we view God as a casual God. And especially in respect to his name. And we're going to answer the question today, what's in a name? So Exodus chapter 20, if you're following along, you want to turn there. It all starts again with verse 1 and 2. Then God spoke all these words. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. So God Almighty spoke these words. This is his heart. This is how he reveals his desire for his children. This is how he displays the standard that we should live by and that we should love by. And we've done the first couple. We're on the third commandment. And it's in verse 7. It says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. Now, to the majority of the world, this is what that means. That means don't use the words God and damn back to back in a sentence. And that's the extent of it. Like, if I don't do that, I'm good to go. I'm not using the Lord's name in vain. Now, if that was it, that'd be pretty easy, right? It'd be like, check, I got that one under control. I can move past commandment 3 to number 4. I just don't have to say those words back to back. Man, number 3's conquered. Easy. No, it's not that easy. Not at all. And if you do that, yes, stop it. Okay? But there's much, much more to this than that. And first we have to understand what is in a name. Okay, he says, don't use my name. Don't take my name in vain. What is in a name? The Greek word here for name is shame. It's actually spelled S-H-E-M. It's pronounced shame. But this is what it means. It means reputation, fame, and glory. God's talking about way more than just using his name improperly in a sentence. It includes what his name stands for. Don't use his reputation in vain. Don't use his fame in vain. This is what he's known for. This is what's accredited to him. Don't use those things improperly. Well, next you got to understand what it means to use that name in vain. The word for vain, the Greek word is sav, S-H-A-V, pronounced sav, meaning emptiness, nothingness, lightly or casually. So when you use God's name, or even what he stands for, in a meaningless way, in a casual way, saying you're attaching it to emptiness, you're attaching it to nothingness and making it where it doesn't mean anything, making it where you're taking the power out of it, making it as though it is common, and in doing so, you're using his name in vain. Now, I'm going to look at a few different ways, but you are taking literally the most precious, holy, powerful name ever in existence and emptying it of its power, making it common, making it nothing. Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11, for this reason, God highly exalted him. Who is him? Jesus. And gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Does that sound like a name that should be taken as though it is common? No. The answer is no. It doesn't sound like a name that we should take and make it empty. This is the greatest word that you can utter from your lips, is Jesus. The greatest, the most powerful. We sing the song, there is power in the name of Jesus. That's not just a saying. There is actually power in the name of Jesus. Many of you have heard Steve Hill's testimony. That's how he got saved. The name of Jesus. He just said it over and over and over and over. And guess who showed up? Jesus. There's power in his name. In the name of Jesus. It's more than just a name. The Bible tells us it's a name that's exalted above all else. It's a name that's exalted above every other name, above every other thing. And when you read that, don't just think every other name. Don't just think that the name of Jesus is greater than the name Tim, or the name Aaron, or the name TJ. Right? It's not just that. It's anything that you can name. It's greater. The name of Jesus is greater. So what's in a name? In this name in particular, everything is in it. We have love. We have salvation. We have forgiveness. We have mercy. We have grace. We have peace, comfort, healing, provision, on and on and on are in the name of Jesus. And we look at names in the Bible. You read the names, especially in the Old Testament, they have meaning. Names mean something, right? Abraham, father of many, who are all our blessings given to, sent to us through Abraham, the father of many. Enoch, how many of you know the story of Enoch? How many of you are a little bit envious of Enoch? I am, just me and Erica and Carter and Gabe, all right. I'm envious of Enoch. Enoch walked with God and then was just taken up. You know what Enoch means? Dedicated. You want to walk with God and just be taken up? Be as dedicated as Enoch. That's a steep challenge, but be as dedicated as Enoch. Moses. Moses was used to free God's people from their oppressors. The word Moses means deliver. I mean, God gives names. They have a reason. They have a purpose. They have a meaning that actually applies to what they are, and they mean something. And you think about when babies are named today. Oftentimes, there's great meaning in it. Okay, now, some people may just randomly pick names out of a hat or out of a book, but a lot of times they mean something. There may be some kind of mention of a family member or a parent or a grandparent. Sometimes Bible names are used. A lot of the common names for men, Mark, John, Paul, you know, a lot of biblical names. Same with women. You can look at like Hannah and Rebecca and stuff like that. But when's the last time you heard the announcement of a new baby and you're like, guys, we all want to welcome baby Judas, right? Guys, we have this beautiful new baby we're welcoming to the family, baby Jezebel, right? You don't hear stuff like that. Why? Because of the meaning. People are like, I don't even know. People that don't know the Bible are like, I don't even know what those people did necessarily, but I know that every time you hear that name, it's bad, right? Nobody likes Judas. Poor Judas. It's because of the meaning of these names. Names do have meaning, right? As we are naming our children, we're taking into consideration grandparents, parents and grandparents. Part of my kids' names, Xander and Marissa, have nothing to do with my family. We just wanted unique names, right? But their middle names are tied to family names because that has great meaning. And even the fact that they had unique names, that had meaning to us. We didn't want Xander to be in a class with, you know, have the name Tim and have three other Tims in his class. Now his name's Xander and there's another Xander in his class. But it still happens, okay? But there was meaning in picking those out, you know? And Marissa Rose. Rose is because my grandma is the greatest woman who's ever walked the earth, and her name was Rosemary. We wanted that in there. She's the best grandma ever. We wanted that included in there. Xander's middle name, Eli, is tied to Christy's grandpa. And so names have meanings. They mean something. No name means more than the name of Jesus. no name. It does not matter. Even in the Old Testament, you see, before the name of Jesus was known, the name Yahweh or the Lord, these were looked at as holy names. There was points in time where they didn't even like to write them down. I mean, I was reading through church history, and they would write Yahweh and like go and like burn the quill that they were using and like cleanse their hands because the name was so holy, they didn't really want any part of writing it. Right? And only certain people would write it, priests. It wouldn't, like, you would not dare write the name of Yahweh if you lived, you know, several thousand years ago. There, it was looked at as a holy name. It was only used with great respect, great honor. And the names of God represent who he is. They represent his character, that he is holy. It is more than just a name. And our God is a God who takes things seriously. Right? He takes things seriously. He came to this earth born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. He died a brutal death, was a substitution for the death that we deserved. He rose from the dead so that we may live. He takes us seriously. He takes his creation seriously. Shouldn't we take him seriously and honor him, honor his name? So I want to look at some things here. What are some ways that we can use God's name in vain? Ways that we do. The first one is the easy one, okay? Profanity. We use the name of the Lord in profane ways all the time. Hopefully we don't, but people do. This is what that means, profanity. It means to treat something sacred with neglect or disrespect. Treat something that is sacred with neglect or disrespect. Have you ever just thought about profanity in general? Just for just a second. Profanity, a lot of these four-letter words, they're abuse of the idea of sex, right? I mean, if you think of those four-letter words, the ones that you know, a lot of them are abusing the idea of sex or abusing humans' private parts or body parts. Here's the thing, our body was created by God, and sex also created by God as a great thing for married people. Don't leave that word out. It's a great thing for married people. It is not for not married people. Profanity is wrong because it misuses these things that God made for holiness, that God made to be great, wonderful things. And it twists them, it misuses them, it neglects, it disrespects things that God made that are good things. And now, because of this, we look at these things as bad, right? Because it's been twisted and warped, okay? Because we have become less formal and more casual in our speech, this type of language is common throughout our world. I mean, you can't even turn on regular cable TV, a regular show, a sitcom, and not hear foul language anymore. It's just like a little bit more. They just allow a little bit more. And the next year will be a little bit more. The next year will be a little bit more. We're almost to the point where it's off, like nothing is off limits. Cussing is common. How hard is it to find something to watch that doesn't include that stuff? What I want to ask this morning is it common in your home? Is it common coming from your mouth at home? At work, at ball games, hanging out with friends, during your hobbies. See, maybe you avoid using the two words God and damn together in a sentence. And some of these things might make some of you guys uncomfortable, me just saying them from up here. What about when we use the short versions of these things? What about when we just get upset and we just say, damn it? Who exactly are you asking to damn what exactly when you say that? I mean, really, who exactly are you asking to damn what exactly when you say things like that with your mouth? Do you realize what you're asking? Do you realize the heaviness, the weight of what it is that you are uttering from your lips? You are saying to an all-powerful God to condemn something. Whether you realize it, whether you mean it or not, that is exactly what you are speaking. So you have this response. I don't mean anything by it. That's exactly the point. The exact point is that you don't mean anything by it, but you're using a holy name in an empty, meaningless way to say something that is common. Stop it. Like, stop. That's a serious deal. It's a serious issue that we don't mean anything by it. Ephesians 4:29 says, "No foul language is to come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need, so it gives grace to those who hear." Other translations say, "No corrupt word should come from your mouth." That's what profanity is. It's corrupt words. It's corruption of God's good creations. We should not be using the name of the Lord in vain in profanity. That's the easy one. Everybody knows that one already. This next one is irreverence, though. We should not use the word, the name of the Lord, irreverently. This is similar to profane, but this is really just disrespecting his name and using it as common. This would be all these things that many people think are okay, where you just say, "Oh my God, oh God, God," right? We got all kinds of versions going on here. If you just say Jesus, if you say Jesus Christ, all these variations right here are using the name of the Lord in vain. It doesn't matter what you're saying it in response to. If you are not saying that word, using it to God or about God, you are using his name in vain. I mean, I would not stub my toe and be like, "Carter Hinckley," right? I mean, maybe if he put that there, if he put this pulpit here, then I might scream his name. But I'm not going to be working, you know, hammering a nail and smash my thumb and just yell, "Cindy Meganhart." Like, she'd be like, "What did I do? Like, why are you saying my name?" How often do you think sometimes God's like, "Yes? Are you talking to me? Do you want something from me?" See, there's a big difference between calling on the name of Jesus. You may be in need, you may be suffering, you may be hurting, you may be not know where to go, you may be totally lost, and you can say, "Jesus." That's okay. That's good. You're calling upon that powerful name. But when something makes you mad and you just say, "Jesus," that's not good, right? You are taking a name that is holy, that is above every power and dominion and thing on this earth, and you are treating it like it is nothing. That is a big deal. We have to be careful and be very thoughtful about how we use the names of God. You can go down that list. You can use them all good. You can use them all bad. To say, "Oh God." Like, to say, "Oh God," when something happens. Here's the question. Are you speaking to God? Like, do you really want him to intervene right here? Or is it just the word of choice? Because there's a difference. You can use those things to call upon the name of the Lord. But don't just use them as a lazy, empty response. Deuteronomy 6:5, we looked at this a few weeks ago, says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. If you love your spouse, your child, your friend, your parent, would you use their name in a name that is in a way that is disrespectful? Would you use it in a way that dishonors them? Would you use it in a way that you know that they would cringe and be like, "Why would you use my name like that?" Would we do that to the people sitting around right here? Would we trash their name just for no reason? Why would we do it to the very Jesus who has given us life? When you use the name of God, listen, you've got to have meaning. You better have meaning. I'm speaking about God. I'm speaking to God. That's okay. Because I'm going to tell you that God takes every word that you say seriously, even if you don't. The next thing is false oaths. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one. I talked about it recently, but false oaths is when you make a false promise or vow. And if you do this as a Christian, you're also using the name of the Lord in vain. Leviticus 19:12 says, "You must not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am Yahweh." Again, I preached a whole sermon on this when I was preaching out of the book of James about your yes, let your yes be yes and your no be no. So you can go and listen to that on the Facebook page or the website. But basically, we have to remember that we are the representative of God. You represent Christ if you are born again, if you are a Christian, and you should live your life as though you're under oath all the time. Right? Telling the truth, being honest, being a person known for integrity, for having being dependable and trustworthy and God-honoring all the time. So again, you can go and listen to that message, but I just want to say, in the meaning here of using the Lord's name in vain, making false promises, false oaths, is a part of using the Lord's name in vain. And the last one I want to look at here is being a false follower. See, this is when we use the name of God to say, I am a Christian. I am a believer. But we're clearly not a follower. We are using the Lord's name in vain in this setting here because we're taking the name of God and we're saying, I'm a Christian, but my life shows that my fruit is rotten. That's church talk for meaning you don't live like you follow Jesus. Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? See, when we do this, we're taking God's reputation and we're making it, forming it into our empty words of saying, I'm a Christian, but you don't look anything like Christ. And I realize there's sanctification, there's a process. We expect people to come in here into the church and they've been here for a week and they're perfect. That's not going to happen. Right? I'm not saying that at all. But what we ought to see is they're trying, right? They're getting prayer. God's growing them. God's doing things in them. We see change. And we ought to see that in our own life. But when people just proclaim to be a Christian, but they live their life however they want with no regard to what God wants or desires or has done for them, this is where people get a bad view of the church and a bad view of God's people. That is using the name of the Lord in vain. It is. To say you're a Christian and you're not a Christian is to use it in vain. If I was to stand here right now and tell you all that I am African American, right? If there were some African Americans in here, they would be very offended, right? They'd be like, no, you're not, man. They'd be very upset. They'd be like, you are trashing our name because you don't even look or act black. You don't even know what it's like. Yet we do it with Christianity. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Most of this country says that they're a Christian. But what is the fruit that's being produced in their life? See, if we're an ambassador for Christ, that means we represent him. Thus doing what he would want us to do, or at least doing our best and trying and growing in that. Christians are supposed to reflect God to others. If you're not, you're using the name of the Lord in vain. When we don't reflect the image of God at all in our lives and we proclaim him as God, we're making a holy God look bad. We're making the name of Christianity look bad. The name of Christ, again, is in there. Christian, Christ. It's about how you're representing him. We are supposed to make him famous. You know what it means to make somebody famous? It means to have widespread reputation of being favorable and good nature. That is what we're supposed to be displaying when we say that we're Christian. Do you profess a life of Christianity or devotion of love toward Christ? Because that's the difference. You can say you're Christian and say you're Christian and say you're Christian, but it doesn't matter if you're not living a life of being devoted to love Jesus Christ. Whether through profanity or irreverence, false oaths, being a false follower. Listen, we can take the name of God and we can attach it to emptiness. We can attach it to meaninglessness. Are you taking the name of Jesus that is above every other name and making it common? Making it as though it's just an ordinary name. It's like saying anything else that's in my vocabulary. Because I'm going to tell you again, in this name is everything that we need. In this name is love. It is salvation. It is forgiveness. It is mercy, grace, peace, comfort, healing, provision. All these things are in the name of Jesus. If you would stand with me in this place, I'm going to ask a few questions today. And I want every head bowed and eyes closed. And I want you to think about this in your own heart right now. How are you doing with the name of God? How are you doing with the name of God? The name of Jesus. Are you taking him in vain through your language or through your lifestyle? Do you take this command lightly? Because I'm going to tell you today that he does not. He does not take it lightly. Says that he will not hold you guiltless. What that means is he will put his finger on it and say, you know this isn't right and you shouldn't be doing this. Now repent. Now do something about it, because our God always seeks restoration. He always seeks healing. On some level, I'd say every person struggles with some part of this at some point. The path we need to take is to recognize it, to repent. Because what's in a name, it's everything. And today, church, I'm telling you that I believe Jesus is calling us to a place of holiness. You realize we as Christians, we say that we are called to holiness. That means we're supposed to be set apart. That means we're not supposed to look like everybody else. We're not supposed to look like the people that we work with. We're not supposed to look like the other people in our family. You're not supposed to look like somebody else in this church. It means you're supposed to look more like him. And it starts right here with loving Christ above all else. Viewing him, having a proper view of him and seeing that, man, he is holy. This is a holy, perfect, pure, just God. And his name is above every other name. We must not have any other God besides him. We must not make an image of the God that we desire for ourselves. And we must not treat his name as though it is common and use it casually. Again, it's not because of a list of rules, but it's because you love him. It's because you love him. It's because he loves you, because he died for you, defeated death for you, and because he is coming back. I hope for you. So the call this morning is this. If you are one who takes the name of the Lord as though it is common, I want you to come down. It doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter who's going to see me. They don't know which of the four ways that it is. But if you've treated the name of the Lord as though it is common in your life, I want you to come down to the front. Whether you use it in a profane way, whether you use his name irreverently, where you dishonor his name. Whether you're a person that makes false promises, or whether you're a person that just proclaims Christ, but you know that that's not the way that you live your life. I want you to come to the front if that's you, any of those things this morning. Step all the way up so we know who's up front, because I'm going to pray for each and every one of you this morning. And I'm going to say that today, man, the reason God gives us these things to speak about in his word is because he desires nothing but good for you. He desires nothing but good for you, because he loves you, because he has a plan and a purpose for you. And today we are just going to declare that he is holy, that he is mighty, that he is wonderful. So we're going to worship the Lord. Those of you that have stepped forward, We're going to pray with you here momentarily. Stay down. If anybody else has decided they need to come, you can still come. Let's worship the Lord in this place together. Let's submit ourselves to Him. Let's say that He is holy, that He is worthy of all honor and praise, and let's show Him that this morning.